Earlier this month, an open letter bearing the names of 27 well-known New Zealanders was made public. Free speech is apparently under threat in New Zealand, and people are being silenced for having views that are controversial, but not illegal. The letter followed calls for a review of hate speech legislation by Human Rights Commissioner Susan Devoy and Police Commissioner Mike Bush. The letter also mentioned universities, and what its authors saw as a trend towards the, quote, forceful silencing of dissenting or unpopular views. The chief organiser of the letter, Dr. Paul Moon, later referenced the short-lived European Students Association as an example of this in action. I asked Dr. Moon, a history professor at AUT, how free speech was under threat in New Zealand.
There's been a huge rise in incidents overseas, particularly in the UK and the US, and universities where there are restrictions on freedom of speech. We were concerned that the same thing might start to take root here, and so we thought rather than wait until it does, we'd take some action to try to alert people to some of the risks.
Is there anything you're seeing in New Zealand that you think could lead to some similar things?
I'd thought that perhaps there were the odd isolated cases until day before yesterday when the letter came out. And I then received dozens of emails from academics around the country pointing out experiences they have had where there's been pressure on them to adjust what they teach, pressure on them not to offend certain groups, pressure on them to disinvite speakers and so on.
And how do you think the letter has been received more generally?
It's hard to judge. I know as far as social media is concerned, the feedback's been extremely positive. There have been one or two detractors, people who think there should be some restrictions on freedom of speech, that we shouldn't be allowed to upset others. But while upsetting people is never a good thing, it shouldn't be done intentionally just for that purpose. It happens from time to time that if you have a different opinion from someone else, they may get offended by it. That's the price you pay for free speech.
And you mentioned people being disinvited from universities. Shouldn't universities have the discretion not to invite certain people?
Oh, look, you can invite whomever you want. But if you do invite someone, then you change your mind on the basis of what they're likely to say and the content of what they're likely to say. Not because it's breaking the law, but because you disagree with their views. It's quite a different issue. Now, you shouldn't have issued the invitation in the first place, perhaps, but why should the university be in the business of censoring different ideas?
Well, I guess just to play devil's advocate, you could say some ideas, if they lack a research basis, they should be rejected.
Well, there are two answers to that. I think the first one is I'd be surprised if any university invited a speaker who didn't have at least some knowledge of the topic they were going to talk on. You can argue about degrees of knowledge, that's another issue. So I think that that's not much of a concern. But if someone does have a silly idea, for example, a flat Earth proponent, someone who says, I believe the Earth is flat, they probably don't have much in the way of evidence to support their claim, and that's entirely the point. They will end up being ridiculed, their views will end up being ridiculed because there is no basis for them. So the best thing you can do if you disagree with someone is to let them speak, expose what you think of their fallacies, come up with a better argument to defeat them. And that solves the problem. If, however, you say, well, look, we're not going to allow this person to speak because we think they might offend someone or whatever, you end up doing the opposite thing. You draw attention to them, you glamorise their position, and they perhaps get more adherence as a result.
And just finally, I guess, do you think that there should be some limits when it comes to, say, incitement of violence?
Absolutely. And this is what we were specific on, because those limits already exist. If you go out and say, well, we should kill this person, or there's a fire in the building, everyone leave, and people get injured in a stampede or something. Those are the dangers of absolute, unfettered free speech, and no one wants that. If you make overtly racist comments or discriminate against people in your comments, no one wants that either, and the law protects us from that. So we're not talking about absolute free speech. What we are concerned with, though, is when people say, I don't want you to say something, not because it's illegal, because it's racist, because it's going to cause violence. I don't want you to say something simply because I disagree with you, and therefore I find your views offensive, therefore you shouldn't express them. And that's extremely dangerous, because in countries that have hate speech laws that actually do that, there's a very oppressive climate of fear. And I've had, again, much correspondence in the last couple of days from the UK who've said, you know, we have to think very carefully about expressing opinions, because if we offend someone, we may be penalised, may lose our job, may be ostracised, whatever. it's a very unpleasant situation to live in. Fortunately, we don't really have much of that in New Zealand, and I think preserving that is really the key to this whole campaign.
I also speak with Jonathan Gee of the New Zealand Union of Students Associations to see what he made of the letter.
My view is that free speech isn't at threat in universities. My view is that actually in our lecture theatres and in our tutorials, we're engaging in free speech every day. So, we're thriving on the fact that universities are the critic and conscience of society and, expressing a range of views with our tutors and our lecturers. So, I thought it was quite a bit of a surprise, to be honest, to see that that open letter come out.
And what have you made of the response to the letter?
In terms of the response, I think it's been quite mixed. I support the Auckland University Student Association's view on it and the fact that it's been tied to the European Students Association, and that situation there is quite interesting, and that actually, I think the right course of action was taken, and freedom of speech was actually definitely expressed during that situation.
Now, you're speaking more generally. What is the NZUSA's position on hate speech?
So NZUSA's view is that, obviously, as I said, universities and politics, the tertiary sector, is a place where we should be able to express freedom of speech. But that's not an absolute right. So, obviously, an important part of universities is that they promote a safe environment. So when it comes to hate speech, or when it comes to hate crimes, or any reduction of the right to hate speech or any racial sort of discrimination, that sort of stuff is not okay. We need to be promoting a safe environment for our students. In terms of New Zealand's values, we've got a very, very strong value around egalitarianism. And I think that definitely came out when people were expressing their views on things such as white supremacy. I think universities are still very much a place where we can express freedom of speech and also engage in public debate.